Are your kitchen and bathroom remodels a little overdue? Well, now's your chance to call First Response Contracting. John Sellers will take care of you. 484-256-7136. They do residential and commercial, and they're licensed and insured. Give them a call at 484-256-7136. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You. We are back with a very committed person for the show. He's here every time he's supposed to be, and I really appreciate that. Just like Pete Heim, he's here pretty often too. But we have Justin Perella back talking about mortgages from Annie Mac Mortgage, and we have a really cool thing we're going to go over today. It's called the 10 Commandments of Buying a Home, and it's actually really kind of funny. So you'll have to to listen to this. This is good stuff. This is good
it's
stuff.
A little cheesy. But it's effective.
I like cheesy.
Yeah, you like cheese.
I do like cheesy, yeah. And cheese, too. I like cheese and cheesy. So, yeah, so where this comes from is it's called the 10 Commandments of Buying a Home. And it's kind of like a play on this whole thing. And it's a lot of thou shalt nots.
Which I'm not going to say.
That's all right. I can say them every once in a while because I think they're kind
of
fun.
Yeah.
But so these are the 10 things that you really, really need to make sure you don't do during the mortgage process.
Yeah.
And like you said before we started recording is, yeah, it seems like these things would be very simple and very common sense, but they're not because people end up doing some of these things. And that's
Well, and imagine you've got a million other things on your mind as you're buying a house. So it's good to, you know, I tell the agents they should know this. I actually had a class today training new agents, and we went over this as well.
Yeah.
Because it's important for the agents to know because they've got a, you know, they're the first line. Let's face it.
Oh, absolutely.
They're the first line of offense and
absolutely.
Defense, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But they should be aware of these do's and don'ts.
So let's go through these. We'll start at the top.
Yeah.
The first one it says here is don't change jobs. Don't become self-employed and don't quit your job.
Yeah. And again, obvious, but
maybe not.
Perfect example is about 2 or 3 years ago, I had a teacher and she was buying a house a week before. It was in the summer. So she was about to be off for whatever, 3 months. And she comes to me and says, hey, you know, I just changed jobs and I'm going to be teaching. I don't know where yet.
Oh, geez.
But I'm going to be teaching. And I said, well,
oh boy,
you don't have a job then. She's like, oh, no, I'm getting paid.
No, I do have a job.
And I'm a teacher and I'm sure I'll get a new job. Well, you also don't have a house now.
Yeah, right.
Because you have to have a job. Like we have to have income for you and calculated.
So she just thought that because she's a teacher that she can get it. And we teachers, you're not always going to get a job right away.
Right.
I mean, that's not always how it works with the teaching
job. So she just assumed because she was in that line of work, and she probably had opportunities.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, you don't want to do that.
Okay. Now she gets the job. How long does she have to be there?
Since she's in the same line of work, we can do 30 days.
30 days. Okay.
Yeah.
So she needs like a couple paychecks, basically.
Two pay stubs.
Okay. Yep. So 30 days, couple pay stubs. That's a good thing to know. And you know, it's funny too. I think, you know, a lot of people think, oh, changing jobs. If she went from a teacher to a manager at a restaurant, what would that do to her qualifications?
That could affect her big time because she doesn't have experience.
That's what I thought.
In that line of work. So if you're going from teacher to teacher.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal. But now if you're going to go self-employed, let's say she now wants to make jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done it part-time now, 2 years. We need 2 years experience.
2 years experience in
history.
As far as self-employed, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think that's good. And if anybody has questions, Lisa, since you're listening, hopefully you're still listening. If you're listening, you have questions, let us know.
She knows this list front and back.
Yes, she does. This is one of the ones she sends out, actually. Okay, so the other one is don't buy a new car, truck, or boat.
Yeah. Unless you want to live in it.
Why not? Why not?
The funny thing.
Unless you plan on living in it. So if it's a camper, it's different.
Because you already have access to a front door.
So what's up with that? Why? Is it the payment?
Yeah, it could be. It could be five different things why you wouldn't. But one of the things from this I want to make sure I tell the audience is whenever you're buying a new car or a truck or anything, a vehicle of any kind, you have to be really careful when you go to the dealerships because they're assuming that you are going to need, you're going to want the lowest financing. So they're going to put your credit out there, or they could put your credit. I don't want
to like four different places,
four or five different places that could crush your credit score. So you want to be careful. I always tell my clients, if they're looking to buy a car, check what if you're buying a Honda, maybe there's some special Honda financing. Right. That's great.
Yeah.
But just let them either do that or go to Diamond or one of the credit unions and get your loan approved up front.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is make a phone call. The bank talks to the dealer and so forth and so on. But you want to make sure that you say, hey, listen, Mr. Dealer, I don't want my credit pulled 500 times.
Right, to get the best rate.
Right. Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if they're marginal on their rate to begin with.
Yeah.
Like what if they're hovering at like a 630 or 64? You know what I mean? All of a sudden they got four pulls on their credit. That could be ugly.
Yeah. It might bounce them out of a top tier rate or
yeah.
out of a FHA guideline anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a big one. Just wait. Most of this stuff is going to be common sense. So just wait till you get in the house.
Yeah. So basically, and that's the big picture is, don't do anything
unless you talk to me
from the time you take the application to the time we actually settle. Yep. If you're doing anything that means you're taking a dollar bill out of your wallet, you need to talk to Justin.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Or whoever you're using. Hopefully Justin.
So again, to the next one's just credit cards. Don't use them excessively and don't fall behind on payments. Some of that is I've seen somewhere they're paying off a car. Okay. So we try to sometimes get rid of payments. So if there's a car payment that we want to pay, it's maybe you have three payments left of $400. So we want to pay that off so that we can free up that $400
right.
for your new mortgage, which is great. But you really want to be careful that they pay that off on time. I've seen a lot of clients
where they
go to write the check or the dealer just slow pays it. And now all of a sudden they have a late payment and now it comes up when we do a credit supplement at the end and
that
happens. So
not good.
Just make sure you're diligent in any of your payments throughout the underwriting process.
When you say late payment, now help me out here. Mm-hmm. I mean, cause I'm human. I've forgotten to pay credit cards already but what they became was there may be 3 days past the due date. Is that something that gets reported if it's the due date that's on the statement, or are we looking at a 30 day?
15 days.
15 days.
Typically 15 days, but if you're late, you always want to follow up because certain creditors will allow one or two. There's a forgiveness period.
Yeah, I don't do it all the time, but it's happened.
Yeah, right.
Especially with when they do the online billing. If an email comes through that it's due and you forget, it goes to your emails and whatever. But
auto pay is always the best.
That's what I do with all of my larger stuff. Is all on auto pay
and your consistent stuff
stuff that I know it's the same everything. Yeah, exactly, absolutely. Okay, don't spend money you have for you mean seriously people will spend the money they have for closing.
Let's
just say I have $20,000 in a bank and I know that I need that for settlement. You're telling me you've gotten people that have said, oh, we took 10 of that and just booked a trip on a cruise?
Yes,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen often.
Do they know it's part of the 10 commandments for buying a home? Do they know that?
Maybe.
It's morally wrong to do what they're doing.
It's just not right. It's not good. It's going to put you in a bad position. You're going to have to borrow money. You're going to have to get it gifted. So it just opens up.
Obviously. Once again.
Yeah, that's the biggest obvious one.
Don't spend it. Yeah. Don't lend it.
Don't gamble it.
Don't gamble it.
Anything with it that you wouldn't.
Don't go to a bar somewhere with it.
Don't
do anything. Just keep your money.
Just wait.
Locked up until
I'll tell you, some people think, okay, if the estimate says you need $24,000 and they've got $26,000, maybe they'll spend that too. That's kind of what it's talking about. But don't touch any of it.
Right, because you're going to have to say where it went.
Because
you're watching that account.
Yeah, but it's more so, listen, those estimates are exactly what they are. They're estimates. Now, they're pretty close to the actual, but there could be extra taxes
that the title company
comes up with that we have to pay, or who knows?
Right,
A couple of things. So you don't want to
just don't dig into it. Don't be dumb.
Yeah,
don't be dumb. That's what this is going to be about.
Yeah,
don't be dumb.
That's what
it's going to be called, the Don't Be Dumb podcast. How's that?
Yeah, I love it.
All right, cool. So the next, do not omit liabilities.
What does that mean? All right. So an example on this would be, I have one for a refi, but it makes sense for this. So taking an application, the guy goes through his debts. I see on his credit report, all his debts are accounted for. and we submit it to underwriting, and title comes back and says, hey, this guy's got two other properties. So this is huge. Like, when you own properties, some people think free and clear, that is. People,
I was going to say, wouldn't this show up on a credit report that they owed?
If they owed free and clear. So free, let's clear. Say, okay. Excuse got me, it. If they owned it free and clear. So these were two lots that the guy had in like Maryland or something.
Okay.
So yeah, he doesn't think they're a debt. But guess what? There's taxes associated with it. So it didn't affect him negatively. We still got it done.
It could have. If he was close. If your ratios are close and all of a sudden you got, you know, $1,500 $2,000, $3,000 a year in taxes, you divide that out.
With two or three lots.
Yes. Yeah. That could be ugly.
That's what we're talking about when you say don't omit it. Don't assume that just because you own, and that's pretty much his property, I would say. You're not going to make that mistake on anything else. Because we don't take in car insurance or anything. So if you own a car, that's not.
Got it.
Yeah, on property, make sure you let us know so we can calculate the taxes.
Absolutely. I like this one. Do not buy furniture yet.
Oh, but there's 0% out there, Brad.
No, I know. I use it all the time.
They'll be 0%.
But I'm not buying a house.
Yeah. They'll be 0%. Just wait for the next holiday.
Yeah. The furniture places are always going to do 0%. And even when they say it's ending tomorrow, it's not ending. You can get it again, I'm sure.
And I know you want to move in and have that king-size bed. Everybody does. But, you know, for now...
A lot of those places too, you might be able to put money down, like a couple hundred bucks down, and then do it after settlement.
As long as they're not pulling your credit.
Yeah, don't let them pull your credit. That's a no-no.
Key.
Yeah, okay, got it. Yep. So don't buy furniture until afterwards.
No. I mean, if you're going to buy it on, Facebook, what's it?
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know.
But don't take it from your closing cost money.
Correct.
Yeah, don't do that. You already told me not to do that. I'm learning along the way here. Come on.
Yeah, you are.
Come on, Justin.
Yeah, you are.
So the next one is don't originate new credit. So we don't want to open any credit cards.
Right.
Is that
same
right?
Thing. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a duplicate, but just... Again, no new credit cards. Don't have your credit checked. There's no reason to. We just pulled it. So don't initiate any new credit.
Okay.
Basically what that is.
Now, a lot of times you'll see when you get in the mail, they'll say, you're pre-approved for a Visa card for $2,500. Do they pull your credit for that?
Yeah.
They do.
Even though they've just got your basic information. They know where you live. They know your zip code. They know about how much your house is worth. So they're just pulling all that information.
And they go, oh, this guy should be able to afford this. Okay.
This guy should be it. Yep.
Okay. Got it. So the next one is, what do you see here? Don't make large deposits.
Yeah. So that should be, there should be a little caveat there saying cash. It's really mostly cash deposits. Now, remember, anything going in your bank account ever since 9/11, that we've been checking for money laundering, and we have to source the funds. That's the key
word.
We have to source the funds.
So where did it come from?
Correct. So this is really it. Now, if you get a bonus for 10 grand, God bless
that's
you.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Well, you got to show where it came from.
Correct. And if typically that bonus will have, a pay stub or some sort of documentation. So
what if mom and dad gave me $5,000 for my birthday?
So that's what we got. Well, then we got to get a letter. We got to show
that
mom,
it was a birthday gift. That it's not owed back.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So, and it used to be, I'd have to double check. It used to be, so whatever your new mortgage payment is. So let's say your new mortgage payment is $1,500. Mm-hmm. Anything less than $1,500 deposited in is supposedly not.
That's okay.
Don't have to worry
it's about
not like, but yeah. Again, that could have changed COVID.
So just be careful.
Yeah, just be careful. Yep. Just talk to your lender. About any large
communicate
deposit.
With Justin. That's what I'm learning here. I can't do anything without talking to Justin. That's what this means. Don't change banks and accounts. Bank accounts.
But it's just confusing the process.
Yeah.
Where's the money? Oh, now instead of getting, 60 days of statements for one bank, now you gotta get new bank statements, show the deposit, show the trial. It's just
That would just add more stress to the person, I think.
Absolutely.
I think changing bank accounts to another bank is the most pain in the ass thing to do anyway. So now you're doing it during the buying process of a home? Oh, my gosh.
Not many people make that mistake, but it happens. Ugh.
But but I totally get it. I understand why you're saying that. And then, this is the last one, mm-hmm. and I think it's actually a very important one. We ran into this.
Yeah.
But the thing that we see a lot is when people say, oh, well, I just co-signed for it.
Yeah.
I just co-signed. No, you are 100% responsible for that other thing that you co-signed for. And I think both parents that are signing for their kids need to know what they're doing.
1,000%.
And then also the and if I'm somebody that owns a house, I'm looking to move, I shouldn't be co-signing on a car for anybody. Because when you say co-sign, your name's on that. Yep. Your name's on that as a liability, it's right? It's your debt. It's your debt. And it's not 50% either.
No.
You're just as liable for that
great
debt.
Great point. Yep.
Yeah.
Great point.
A lot of people think, oh, well, no, but I'm just a co-signer, so I don't owe 50%. No, that's not how it works.
I made this mistake earlier in my lending career. I thought a car, if you can show that, let's say mom co-signs for son to get his truck that mm-hmm. he's always wanted. Yep. If the son has paid the bill for 12 months and you can show 12 months canceled check that Johnny paid for the truck, in some cases, underwriters will omit that from mom's debt. Homes,
forget it.
You're on that.
You're on that. So either A, they have to refinance or you got to sell the property.
Correct.
Right? If you're on that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my thought. So we just went through the Ten Commandments of buying a home. So do you have anything to add to that? Because believe it or not, we're at 16 minutes here already.
Not really. Again, open, honest, just have an open dialogue with your lender and realtors, agents. You definitely want to know these and just be familiar with them so you can back up your lender.
Yeah. So basically, when in question or when in doubt of whether you should be doing something, just call Justin. Just call your lender and say, hey, can I do this? Is this going to be okay? Am I going to get in trouble here? Because trying to undo those things is sometimes not possible, right?
Just creating more hassle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for coming in. We'll see you again. You're going to be back. What is it now? It's the
Thirsty Thursday.
It's that third Thursday of the month at 1 o'clock, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you next month, man. Thanks for coming in. Very cool. There we have the 10 commandments of buying a home. You definitely want to keep that information, write it down, listen to it a couple times, and make sure you know what you can and cannot do when buying a home. All right? Thanks so much. We'll see you real soon.